Amen. It's good to see y'all this morning. I trust the Lord has been good to you this week.
Amen.
He's ever since you come to know him, you know that he's good.
Yes.
But long before you knew him, he was good to you. And we appreciate him so much.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your truth. Lord, it has lifted us up above the shadows of this day. And Lord, there are many shadows. Satan going to and fro, Lord. And you said through the prophet that this would be the most deceiving age. And Lord, yet, even though it be the most deceiving, it would be the greatest revelation, Lord, of any age. Coming forth now, Lord. And just a few would recognize it, Lord. Just a few. And we're so thankful, Lord, you've made us some of that few, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will give us more this morning because we know there's more. There's always more. The little woman, Lord, who went to the barrel, there was always more, Lord. You always provided. And we pray you'll provide this morning and speak to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I hope I didn't mess up nothing because I sat down on it a while ago. I don't know if the sound's working. Okay. I forgot it was back there and just sat down on it. Getting more forgetful as I get older. I'm beginning to wonder if it's actual an aging issue. I'm sure that contributes, but I'm beginning to wonder if it's not just too much up there. We try to hold on to too much and try to remember too much, just way too much. So we live in a day to where I despise these things. I think they're a curse to this age. They're far worse than any television has ever been. Far worse than any public school has ever been. Far worse than anything.
Amen.
And yet, if you're going to work in this world, if you don't have something to keep you up to and constantly reminding you and constantly, you'll forget everything. And they've got the government set up such that the consequences for forgetting one little something is hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars and stuff. I was looking for something in my email the other day, and I had missed this email altogether about my business having to go fill out this report for North Carolina for the ownership of the business. You got to have somebody who's the beneficiary of the business. I'd done completely read that. He'd sent it twice, and I had missed it twice. And the Lord just gracious to me, because when you miss it, starting as soon as you miss it, is $500 and something a day until you fix it. And this is after they'd done administratively absolved my company anyways, but this is just a bunch of nonsense. So I'm glad I have no dependency on this world. We live in it, but we're not of it.
Amen.
At all.
Amen.
And if we are, we need to turn loose.
That's right.
Because it's not going to be something you want to be hold of when the ship is sinking, because it's sinking.
Amen.
And the truth is what sets you free. It's what carries you above it all.
Amen.
It's what gives you life every day. It's what gives you strength to face things in this world.
That's right.
Because you realize that the world's only temporary.
Amen.
All of its problems are only temporary. And nothing, you also realize that nothing is taking place that God has not allowed for some reason. Because the other thing is that God's lost control, and we do not believe that. But that's what worry is.
Yeah.
Worry is when you think God's lost control. He's quit looking at you. He's quit seeing you. He's quit noticing you. He's quit caring about you. That's Satan's lie that he tries to tell people. And his objective with that is to make you think that he's lost control, that God has lost control. Because if you think he's lost control, you've lost trust in him. And so Satan has one objective. He wants to sell his kingdom to everybody. He wants you in his Eden. You know, and so that, we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. We've been on a little series there at home about preparing a place of worship. And it's went two or three services past what I thought it was going to go. And after this morning, I realized there's probably a little bit more. But I think really we all realize that the only place of worship is Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. And God made that place of worship. He's the one brought that to pass. You know, I was looking at a quote earlier this morning. I'm not sure if I left it in there this morning. I did. We'll get to that one in a minute then, so I won't get ahead of it. But we think about so many times that example of Peter, of God asking Peter, who do men say I am? And then who do you say I am? And then Peter told him who he was. You know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter had that revelation, and the Bible says he wasn't even converted. Brother Branham said that on the night before the crucifixion, he told Peter, he said, when you're converted, then go strengthen my children. Go feed my children. And so he was getting revelation before he was ever converted because he was seed.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that you stumbled out of this one, you stumbled out of that one.
Yeah.
Right. What was that?
Amen.
It was revelation, not for you knew what it was. Right. You didn't realize what was going on, but it was taking place. Brother Ram said it was the foreordination of God taking place in your life. And so if it was happening before you ever knew him, what about after you know him? Yeah, it's just every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Because it's just more sure. So let's read this scripture here. Where Brother Bram talks about, he took this scripture in things that are to be, and we're going to get there just a little bit this morning. But Brother Bram, that the scripture says in John, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we know Brother Bram took that house to show what that meant, because it isn't a house full of houses. It was a house like they used to refer to kings having a house or dukes having a house. When the duke had a house, he had a bunch of land all around. And that was considered his house. And everybody that was living on it was in his house. But we know who the Father's house is, though, right? That's Christ.
Amen.
God, Jesus Christ was the house, the tabernacle. And you are born where? In him. You're born in Jesus Christ. And so here Jesus stands talking to him. And he's telling them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Now, if he just told him it's about these mansions in his house, then that must be where he's going to go and prepare the place. Prepare us one of these mansions in this house. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So after he's prepared the place, where did he receive you to? Himself. That's what he's gone away to do, to receive you unto himself. And we know what happened down through the church ages, how that Christ walking among the candlesticks and bringing and removing the ignorance of the bride and bringing it down to where it was supposed to be. He said, I will come and again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where is he? There ye may be also. And what did he say? He said, I and me, I and you and me.
Amen.
All right, so let's look at a little something here. But before we go a little bit, let's talk about this place. I I tend to get way ahead of myself, so I'm going to slow way down here. And if we take too long, then we'll just quit and we'll just, you know, that'll just be it. But I was thinking about place on the way over here, and Katrina and I got to talking about Michael and Martha's place and how we know it as Michael's place. You know, if we're going to go over to Michael's place or Michael and Martha's place, then that conjures something to your mind. You know, you see the house sitting over there on the hill, and you see the garden out back. You see the mums maybe in the front as you're driving in. But there's all those things. But that wasn't there a few years ago. Yeah. But it was in Michael and Martha's heart that they wanted to make this thing. Might have not looked quite like that, but there was something in there that they wanted to make this place. And so all at one point, you know, a lot of their actions are going towards that place. They have to go buy all the materials. They have to clear the land. They have to get it all ready. In order for this place that we know as Michael's place come to be, all that had to happen. Amen. And so when we're thinking about this morning, when he's talking about preparing a place for us, let's look and see what Jesus was talking about when he said he was preparing a place for us.
Amen.
That he might receive us. See, he's preparing a place to receive us. Now, they received him on the day of Pentecost, but that wasn't it. That wasn't the end of it. And so, because he's going away, and Paul told us, and we're going to read that this morning, that there had to come a falling away before he come back. And then what happens in that falling away? So this is one quote here from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Now he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last day be revealed. In order to make every promise revealed in this last day, he has to have this church like this. So that's very important. Now see, he would go back and pick up what these other fellows had left off here in the last days. So in order to make every word be revealed in this last day, he needs to go back and pick up all that these have left off. Mm-hmm. Because that's part of the word.
Right.
And in the last days, by his Holy Spirit, reveal all of the mystery of the seven seals. And the seven seals had what sealed? What the thunders uttered. They were sealed up by these seals. That's why he died. So, wait a minute, got him ahead of himself. See, he's expressing himself. By going back and picking up these words that the other ones have left off and revealing them to his children this day, he's expressing himself.
Amen.
He's building that place. See, because it takes all the word to build that place. Because the place we're talking about is Jesus Christ, the only place of worship. Now, he's done died. He's done established that place. But we can't come to it except in part through the church ages. But we have to come to it. And I'm going to read that to you. Well, it's right here in just a minute. See, he's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died, to express himself. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, and then express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word. When it lets the Word go through them. So it has to have the Word going through them. And so he had to go back and get all those, the Word that was sealed, that was left off in those ages. And Brother Ram said it was left off in those ages, and it didn't get picked up by the next messenger. Whenever Luther preached justification, he left something off. The Lord left something off, and he didn't let him go all the way with that. And then they went to sanctification, Wesley didn't come pick up what Luther left off. Wesley left something off himself. And so and because these were being left off, that was sealed by the seals wasn't being known yet, just in part. All right, so let's go down. We got that there because that's when she becomes the Word, when she lets the Word go through them. That's the only time you can become the Word, is when the Word goes through you. All of it. We don't want to be a partial revelation. We're not living in the church ages anymore. We don't want to be a partial revelation anymore. And God knew he had a people here who did not want to be a partial revelation, because in their heart was this desire for the full revelation of Jesus Christ. He had her ready. And as we find out, that's what happens. He has the sun shining ready, and he has the seed that's ready to receive it. It's always ready. It's always the right kind of sun for the seed, the stage of the seed. Amen. So, and things that are to be. Now we're kind of going to go back and forth here between, sometimes we'll talk about our kingdom, and then sometimes we're going to talk about Satan's kingdom, because they're so close and they're so deceiving in this age. We want to be aware and take everything that Brother Branham said, because Brother Branham said that it takes every word so that we have the vitamins for this body, for this place that we want, this revelation. That's what we want. We have to have every word. And it will bring it to pass. It will bring to pass a stand against Satan, no matter how deceiving he is. And we're going to find out here in a minute that's the part of the Logos that was hovering and brooding over the bride in this last day. That cannot be contaminated, he said. So let's listen. So he says, put the other one in is called, but the other one is called my Father's house. I'll go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house. This pest house is a place. You don't get the choice to leave it, not till we pass on from this world, but it's still a place. You carry this place with you everywhere you go. You put up with this place's problems. You put up with its sickness. You put up with it getting old and it not doing what it used to do. I remember Brother TB talking about that. He's like, well, he said, I think I can do it, but my body don't agree, he said. It just don't agree. So I thought that was good. That's the truth. I didn't understand what he meant back then, but I'm understanding more. There you are. Take you out of this earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place where no evil exists, no sickness exists, no old age exists, no death exists. Now he's creating that in your heart first. That's where you're born again. That's what he created there. That there is no evil in there anymore. It's gone. There's no sickness in there. It doesn't have bad days and good days, because it's the Lord. We're not talking about somebody that has bad days and good days. This thing does, but the Lord that's in there doesn't have good days and bad days. It doesn't get old. There's no death there. It will never pass. I was thinking the other day, thinking of my sister Inez, and I was reading there in the scripture, it was in Things That Are To Be, where Brother Branham was talking about, he said, isn't it wonderful that we have another place? Isn't it wonderful that there is a thing called death? Yeah. That you don't have to carry this pest house around.
That's right.
That God has made a way to lay it down. But he said, what he said was struck me was, it's this same life in another place. Not a different life. It's the same life in a different place. That's what he always said. He said, you don't change when you die.
Right.
You are what you are when you die. And so we're going to read some things about that or later on here in a moment. But he's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. This place He's creating is calling us to it. And you have to be perfect to get there. You got to have that perfect word. That's what you need, is that perfect word. Because that's what you're going to recognize the word with. We'll get to it in just a minute. I'll read it to you. It may sound a little strange as I'm saying it like that, but as we get along, you'll see. You have to be perfect to get there. The Bible said so. Jesus, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So this is God. He's going to make us perfect. And He's made a place to call us to that. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people come. Because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it? Through anything else but the perfect word of God. Think about what He's saying. The perfect word of God. He's talking about it being present. Which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins. Amen. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. The dripping, bloody word. Amen. That word, that blood that was dripping down was from the testimony of a man. God made a testimony. Because His testimony, He was going to express Himself in man. And so when man went there and died, man went there and lived like he did. Jesus lived like He did. And then passed away or passed on. That was a testimony to us. And so that was the word bleeding there and dripping down. Brother, if you listen to Brother Random say these things, I was trying to figure out a way. On Wednesday, we've started like going back through some of the messages, and we'll listen and we'll stop and talk about it a little bit and then listen a little more. And I'm trying to figure out a way that I can put all these quotes in here and I can still hit the button and listen and let Him read it, because He reads it. I want that enunciation in there. I want it where He puts the emphasis. So I cannot tell you how many times I've caught the meaning of something because God put that on there. We were ordained to have these tapes.
Amen.
Because there was so much going to be given over in just the way He said it.
Yep.
The punctuation in here is wrong a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know punctuation. But I know where He paused and things. I see where they break things into paragraphs. And that wasn't a paragraph in there and things like that. I know they mean well. I'm not trying to say nothing bad. But I'm just saying we have the tapes for a reason.
Right.
And we have that voice for a reason. I can remember that voice when I was 5 years old having an effect on me.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I didn't know what was going on, but it had an effect on me. Mm-hmm. And it calmed me. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter what message it was, how hard it was or how easy it was, just that voice,
that's right.
The voice of God in this day calmed me. So, yes, let's go on here. To the blood, the word of God bleeding to wash the bride in. Amen. Yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. She was trapped into it. See, there's the Father's house that He's gone to prepare. That's it. That's where He's gone to prepare that. And we received that message, right?
Amen.
All right. That means the sun's shining. So if there's a seed there, it's going to have effect.
Right.
Whatever's in that seed is going to come. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have an effect on all the seeds, good and bad, in this day. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Now I said we're going to go back and forth. So now we're going to Satan's kingdom here and read about it. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Watch here how the words cannot fail. Now, watch here in Isaiah. I got it wrote down here. If I find it again, just a minute. Isaiah 4, 5. Now, listen, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, Brother Branham's placing the scripture for us. So when we read it, how the women will be so immoral. Oh, he says seven women, listen. And in that day, seven women will take a hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread. They don't want him to provide bread for them. We'll wear our own apparel. We don't want him to buy and take care of us. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. They have a reproach because they don't have a husband. They don't have a husband. I mean, there's a lot of people out here married and they don't have a husband.
That's right.
Because they don't, he's not their husband. He's their sidekick or he's their friend or he's something, but he's not their husband because they don't listen to him that way. The majority of the world is like that. But, oh, take a hold of one man. So to take away their reproach, that's the end time where we're living now. Marriage, divorce, prostitution, and whatever. See, and I just put a little note there. The Brother Ram always said to women, the condition of the women is the condition of the churches.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So if they're running out here and they want to take one man, just so they can take their approach. Listen, look at these churches. Every last one of them want to tack Christian onto the name of it. It doesn't matter how they act, how far it is away from the truth, how far it is away from having a head, which is the truth.
Amen.
And they're no far, and they still call themselves
the
bride. They still call themselves Christians. And everything's okay. And I mean everything. They've okayed everything. And it doesn't matter that, you know, Brother Ram said it's one word off.
That's right.
You know, if you don't want to accept and come under one thing that he said, then that means he is not your husband.
That's right.
Because we are subject to the word. Mm-hmm. That's what that Brother Ram said, that spirit in you is subject to the word.
Yes,
all right. Didn't mean to get all nuts much, but listen, here's what he's saying. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. So while this is going on, all these people claiming to be Christians, there will be a Christian. Because the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely that escaped of Israel. How that you escaped all the damnation, see? That's not my words. The only thing I said was the yellow one there. The rest of this is Brother Branham here. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that's the remnant of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, shall be called holy. They shall be called holy. There's none good but God.
Amen.
Even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, wherein the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion. He's washed it away. Remember, he says, that's always the bride, the daughter of Zion. And shall have purified the blood of Jerusalem, the remnant of the Jews, plus the bride. It's in this day that this will have happened. And in the midst thereof with the spirit of judgment and fire. Amen. So there you have them trying to run and grab Jesus and claim him as theirs when they don't. And see, I want to point out something even closer there because we're going to hit it even more here. The reason they don't want it is because Brother Branham made it very clear is that if they do that, they'll have to stop this. If they do this, they'll have to stop that. And they don't want to stop it. They want those things. They don't want to trust the Lord and say, yes, Lord, that's the truth. Even though that thing's still in there wanting it, give way to what the Lord said and let the Lord take it out. Brother Branham said, you just turn loose for 1 second and see what happens, he said. And see, that's the thing. They think, They're going to go out here and try to be a Christian like all these seven women trying to go get one man is. They're trying to do it themselves. That's what they think. And Satan's got it in their head that there's something they're doing in there somewhere. And when he does that, he's got them on his gospel. We're going to get really close on this in a second. All right, so right here he says, and I'm going to read this first sentence here. Now notice today, high breeding cattle, high breeding plants, and science comes right back around, the same science that does it, and says that that is what's destroying the whole human race.
Amen.
They keep doing it,
yeah.
but they know it's destroying it.
Yeah.
Now, I got to thinking about high breeding cattle. Now, how do you high breed cattle?
Mm-hmm.
A cattle is a cattle. A plant is a plant. So how do you high breed it? You go do it yourself. That's what they were doing. They'll go take this cow and they'll put it with this cow and they'll make a cow. They didn't just put them in the field and let the Lord take care of the way it was going to do it. They put their hand on it. Look at the high breeding. You see what it is? It's still the same thing taking place. There's still these animals coming forth, but they're hybrid because they didn't come the right way when they come forth. I hope that's making sense. They're hybrid because, not because it's a, you put a donkey with a cow or something like that. They're hybrid because the man got involved and done it himself. See, God has a way set up to where he'll let the animal select the animal like it's supposed to, and it'll bring it to pass. Brother Bram talked about that, the physical conception being more of a mystery to him than spiritual conception. How that there's millions here, and yet one goes to that egg. One is formed for that egg. And yet, see, they're going around it. They're going around even that and doing it themselves. So they're going around predestination and making their own abomination is what they're doing. The plants the same way. Instead of letting the bees go over here and get on this one and then go over here and get this one and spread it like it was supposed to be, they want to go around and around. All right. I just never thought about that, and it struck me this morning. You see, that's destroying the human race. You read it the same as I do. Well, why don't they stop it? They know it's not working, yet they won't stop it. The churches know they ain't changed, yet they won't stop it. They got to have this form of godliness and deny the power that's there. Oh, they know it's not there. I was telling them there the other day, I worked with this man and worked with him for years. Super nice. And he found out that I believed the prophet and some other things. And I talked to somebody else and he talked to him, I guess. So he come to me and pulled me off to the side and he was wanting to help me.
Yeah.
And so he starts telling me about a family member of his that's a minister in a certain church. And that minister in that church is he'd been a pastor for years and years, Baptist or Methodist or something, I don't know what it was, and said, this man went to him and was talking to him the other day and said, you know this and this, you know this, and he said, well, I know that. He said, well, don't you believe what you're, you know, he said, it's just for us to get together and get around and things like, don't even believe what he's preaching. Now, this man come to me, because he wanted to tell me that all of them were that way. So he wanted to help me. And so I started telling him that there was one that wasn't.
That's right.
And he said, no, I didn't want to hear. He didn't want to hear it. He thought he was helping me. But they have their way, and they think it's working. Because they've never seen anything else that was working. Never seen anything else that was truth and living. Like I said, if you, Brother Brown said, if you just once turn loose,
amen.
Just turn loose. You have to turn loose to the right thing.
Yeah.
You can't turn loose to something that's wrong, but you turn loose to this, and God will take it.
Amen.
He said, just make a jump.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah. How did that eagle know how to make a jump?
Right.
It was in his DNA. It was in his DNA of his legs and his wings. He'd never used it for that, but it was there anyways.
Amen.
And so when he said jump, that meant something.
Yes,
and he hadn't quite figured it out yet, but he tried. Because his body was telling him to do something. And that son of God that down there, or that daughter of God down in there that was not born yet, was screaming out, that's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. Beyond all of this evil that we're born into and this shell that we got, all that was overridden.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ. And by that word that he's brought, that place that he brought you to that place.
Yes.
That's where he was bringing you all the time. He had to bring this seed over here to hear this.
Amen.
Over here to bring, not just hear it. It's not just hearing it. I was telling Elijah, I was going down the road the other day. I said, you can make a witness to somebody if you want to. I said, but let it come from the right place.
Amen.
I said, when you make a witness to somebody, you are concerned about their soul. And you know that what you have is the truth.
Amen.
And you're concerned about them. And I said, if it comes from there, then God can use that. And God is using that.
Amen.
I said, but if it comes from you, you think this is the truth. You've read a message and it may be right. What you said is true. But then you try to go tell somebody else that and straighten them out. You're trying to straighten them out. You're not, it's coming from the wrong place.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Brother Bam said, if you're trying to do it yourself, then it'll manifest itself as self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's happening in a lot of cases. There's a whole lot of self-righteousness going on.
Amen.
Whether it's in message churches or in other churches or wherever it's at, there's a whole lot of that goes on.
Amen.
And you see that. If you get the least bit self-righteous, you've left him. You've turned away from the testimony.
That's right.
Because the testimony is that you have nothing, that he's everything.
That's right.
All right, I'm going to get off on that if I...
Good.
Here, let's go. Here, I got 8 pages of quotes, so we might have to skip down or something. You read it the same as I do, or he's talking about those. God's word said it would be that way. But if they would think for a minute, their instruments, as Judas Iscariot, placing exactly the thing that God said would happen. There he is, creating this place in this day. Because Satan was going to be in this particular place of his kingdom, of his Eden. And that's when God would have his Eden, same time. It's going to be just exactly on their own basis of science. And by his scientific research in the same pattern, he deceived Eve. He also has deceived the church with which Eve was a type. Now Adam, a type there again, or Eve, rather, of the church, notice what it did. Through the wandering of knowledge, don't want to wait and have it by faith or revelation. You want to understand it so you can say you got it. I'm cutting it close this morning. I hope I don't step on toes the wrong way, but I'm cutting it close, okay?
Amen.
I know I preached the message a long time ago about God's agents, and I stepped on a whole lot of toes. And I didn't mean to. I was just bringing what was here.
Amen.
And the best I know how to do it, you know. And if I say something you think's wrong, come to me and ask me about it.
Amen.
Through the wandering for knowledge.
Right.
So they said, don't take of the tree. That was the word. That was the whole word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat of this tree.
Yep.
And then what happened? Why? Why?
Yep.
Why? It doesn't matter why.
Right.
But one turned the why loose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't want to just let God manifest it. They won't know why.
Right.
And that's the way that things happen in the message.
Amen.
It says it. That's the truth. That's the end of it right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this started. And I'm looking at these two Edens, and I'm looking at these two places. There's one that Satan's creating, and it's so close.
Yes, sir.
That if you don't have the revelation, the intellect will just eat it up.
Yes, sir.
And go that way. No matter how in your heart you want to be a good person.
Amen.
That rich young ruler wanted to be such a good person, but when it come down to he had to quit relying on his money,
yeah,
quit relying on his stuff, for his feeling of security,
amen,
then he had to stop.
Yep. Right.
We have to rely on this for everything, brother,
amen,
and sister. It's everything to us.
Amen.
Through the wandering for knowledge, she slips across the line between right and wrong.
Right. Right.
Wandering for it. Not having got it, but wondering for it.
Right.
What does the scripture say about to look upon a woman, to lust after her?
Uh-huh. That's what,
has already,
yeah,
committed adultery in his heart.
Right.
Even if he don't do anything.
Right.
And Brother Ram said, you see the man go down the street, and he said he might be a Pentecostal, he said, and he might have baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he'll come down through there, and he'll see some woman, and he'll start to talk to her, and before he knows it, he said it'll work around because it's not born again, and he'll be trying to make a date with her. He said he's already committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about here. See, there's no going around.
Yeah.
There's no contaminating this word. There's none.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we don't wonder about these things. We just let them go. Like, and if the Lord wants to show us more, he shows us more.
Yeah, sure.
I remember Brother Branham saying he prayed one time and he said, Lord, you owe me. Or some of those words. I had to go look it up and say it. But he found out real quick the Lord didn't owe him anything.
Amen.
Except what the Lord said he was going to do.
Yeah.
And so that's all we want. Whatever the Lord says he's going to do, that's all we want.
Yes,
all right. He can reveal his word as he wants to. Reveal it as he wants to. She slips across the line between right and wrong by listening to Satan's perversion or deformity of the original word of God. And now the churches today have become deformed. Now, I'm not talking about the peoples, the individuals. I'm talking about the church world. One is twisted one way and one's twisted another, and by science, same pattern that he did, he has carried out his threat, Satan has, of Isaiah 14:12. And so he's going to read it to us. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? This is Isaiah seeing him in the vision, see, in the age to come. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is God airing the heart of Satan to the people, making it real clear. And not only that, down through the church age, he's made it even more clear. And down to this day, it's absolute. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides in the north. Satan's purpose from Eden was to make his own self an Eden. It was to make his own kingdom. And in whatever little infancy you want to see it in, you can look around the people in the world and you see it. And I hate to say it, but it's all the way down to a family. I've seen people in families that one another and sticking together is their God.
Yep.
Right down to the fact that of committing horrible crimes and taking care of one another. See, that's a perversion of the truth. See, we should be a family. We should be one and love each other. And we should all be around that word. That's the way it's supposed to be. But there's a perversion of all of it. See, and then there's a perversion in the churches where they'll take everything but And then they all agree around that everything but this one thing. And they become this family. And they look like they're so united when they're not united. Because the only thing that really unites is God. He's the only one that makes one, a oneness. All right. I had none of this in mind you, at all. I was just going to point out some of these things this morning. In fact, I can't do it. If I had it in my mind, I couldn't remember it if I wanted to, honestly. I can remember where a quote might be. That's about as good as I can get. He had absolutely carried it out. He has absolutely carried it out now. And when he's done this and brought it into the church, he's brought this idea of making himself high, and he's brought it straight into the church. Which, I won't go into details. Any of you listening to them tapes know about that, know about it. That's exactly the hour we're living in. That he's brought it into the church. And it's Satan that's done it through educational programs. How's he done it? You educate the word to them. Not revelation. Not waiting on God in faith. You educate them. That's exactly the hour we're living in. And it's Satan that's done it through educational program, better fit, better this, better that, and not knowing all the time they're walking right straight into death. See, hybriding. These people, one calls themselves a Christian, one other one calls themselves a Christian. They all get together, and it's hybriding because they're doing it. They're trying to give the word of God to somebody. They're trying to receive it from somebody. It's all, I hope that's clear, okay? Blinded, leading the blind leaders of the nations, blind leaders of science, blind leaders of church, blind leading the blinded. Jesus said, let them alone. They will both fall in the ditch. Here, notice the type of the two Edens, so closely typed together. It's two Edens. Still, till almost deceive the very elected. Matthew 24:24 said it would be that way. It would be the way it is now. See the place being created? The scripture said it was going to be this way, and now God's bringing it. He put Judas where he put Judas. He put this leader in this day where he put this leader in this day, and he's bringing. He's letting Satan have these people to work through to make his Eden, and God's making his Eden. He's bringing a place here. He's bringing the showdown, the challenge. Satan's had it all his time to do his worst and be his most deceiving. And in the midst of it all, God has raised his standard up. But I want us to stop for a few minutes and consider these two Edens, and one thing especially, how the Bible tells us that God's word did produce the Eden, that Eden, and how God's word warns us that the other Eden would come. Now we also know that there's got to be another Eden. If we would also listen to the prophet Paul in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, I'll read it if you want to. So I went and got it. The whole piece here. Let's read it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. This one that Isaiah was talking about a while ago, when he exposed the heart of Satan, he said way before it happened. Now Paul's addressing it again and pointing it out again. Here it is, it's already working here in this first church age. For the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's showing himself that he's God. He's satisfied that the people believe that he's He's got it. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So he said, he's looking through a glass darkly, but he knows iniquity is already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when Satan's doing all these things, and he's doing all this, setting these things up, and he's being exposed, but he hadn't been exposed 100% yet. And then shall that wicked be revealed, this thing that's been going on all this time, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So it's going to be let go on all this time, but then the spirit of his mouth is going to consume it. And who's his mouth? The prophet. And the spirit of the prophet. The spirit, the messenger, and the message is the same.
Amen.
And he comes forth and he exposes this. Exposes. Now, I've brought messages on. I'm sure y'all heard messages on this man of sin being revealed and when it took place. And shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Destroy. He's already destroyed him in the hearts of the bride. He has nothing now that can stop her, can stop what's in her. All right. I had a note there that I wanted to mention those, what they saw. You know, Brother Branham talked about how that God called for the angel and took some sand and blew it off his hand and said, Gabriel, step in that. And then blew it off his hand, Michael, step in that. I'm not sure if I got the angel names right. And then he blew some more, and then he stepped in it. And all three of them walked up to Abraham down there.
Yeah.
He created a place.
Yeah.
See, he here had all this time. He'd been waiting for this promise. And Brother Bram said, all that time he was separating. And what's the blood been doing to us all through the church ages? Separating. Until we stand before him with nothing on us. We don't believe anything that's wrong anymore. That's where we stand at this last day. He's destroyed in the brightness of God's coming. And by the spirit of his mouth, he destroyed the work of Satan altogether. All right. So in this quote from Christ's Mystery God Revealed, the body must follow the head. I'm sorry, I didn't even finish that example. I'm sorry. Let me back up again. When I was talking about those three, he created a place there that Abraham recognized as God. That's what I wanted you to see. See, God, and Abraham had talked to him. Abraham had heard what he said do. Brother Ram said when he saw him, he was a changed man after that. Said he was just a farmer, but then when this happened, when he spoke to him, he was changed after that. And so, but now he sees him. He's standing before him. He calls him Lord. And he's made a way for Abraham to recognize the promise, the claiming or the climax of the promise at this point. All right, so in this scripture here, and the reason I wanted to get that is because of this. The body must follow the head. It has to follow the head. The head in Luther's day was justification. The head in Wesley's day was sanctification. But in our day, what is it? It's the full groom before us. The body must follow the head, as the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve, See, him drawing this type about us, about all the children of God. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Or, listen real close, the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at that day if she had not been deceived. Now, this is back there is still when the wickedness is still working. The iniquity is still working. It worked all through the church ages. But in this day, it's exposed and thrown. She's not ignorant anymore. And she can come to him. And that's what Brother Branham says. He says here, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at that day. And the Lord Jesus, when he come, of the Lord Jesus, when he come forth from the grave. But he had to redeem her, which is his body. Now, he done paid the price. He wasn't going through the church ages paying the price again. He's done paid the price. So he's redeeming her. He's got to get this to her. Okay? She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. See that? But he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. See, she can't be ignorant anymore. She can't have these things she's believing that's wrong anymore. He has to bring her to this place where there is none of that anymore. He's took it all off. And we're standing in his presence. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. So how did Abraham know that was his Lord? Everything fit with what the Lord had told him. And he just knew that was him. And the message, when it come forth, you just knew that was it. You don't know how, you just know that was it. You just know. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? Oh my. See, it couldn't have happened then. The redemption's going on. So as long as that redemption was going on, it couldn't happen. She couldn't come to him. Even though she come to him in justification, even though she come to him in Luther, she had not come to him yet. Remember what Brother Bram talked about, that thin red line? It was all the way down through history from the fall. And he said every one of those aged that believed that word, they were on that. They were on that grace, holding on. And then at the end of that age, the Ancient of Days, white, reaches down and pulls them all up. What is that pulling them all up if it's not this message? Yeah, pulled all up into this message, into the truth. Amen. The first light, I skipped a sentence there. So going into this message, it is the rising of the sun. I'm not doing bad as I thought. All right. And the first light was ever given in the earth was God's spoken word. His word was light. And the first light that ever struck the earth was God's word, his spoken word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. That turned darkness into light in order to bring forth. Why? It turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. Because he said, let there be. Now, when he said, let there be back there, what does the scripture say? That it was darkness upon the face of the earth. But Brother Bram said he'd already spoke them seeds was already down under there. So when he spoke, let there be light, not only was he speaking for there to be light come in the sky like the sun, but he was speaking, let there be light come to these seeds that I've got. See what he was doing? It was one thing, let there be light. And it meant this to this and this to this other one. See, it meant this sun come into being and then shine on this so it can come into being. You see that type. Brother Bram said there is not a scripture anywhere in the Bible that does not testify to Jesus Christ. Every one of them. So even the let there be light was that same thing. Because he brought Christ into being. What did he say in Christ, the mystery of God revealed? that first he would manifest himself as Christ. Amen. So then he could manifest himself as the bride.
That's right.
What did he do in Eden? He created male and female in the same body, right? Right then. And then he took them out. Amen. He was testifying. So he created the son before the seeds ever come forth. But they were, that son was spoken into existence to bring these seeds into existence. I hope that makes sense. All right. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. And then the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion at that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun rose and swept across its rays and dried up the waters from the earth and made an atmosphere above. And for the first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth by seed. That was a great hour. But oh, it wasn't nothing. That sunrise, like the sunrise on the Easter morning. This time, with the sun leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever, because it became greater news with the sunrise, because it came greater news with this sunrise. Greater news than the beginning back there. This was greater news. But it did than it did with the sunrise at the beginning. This sunrise brought a news that he is risen. He is quickened from the dead, as he promised. He's risen from the dead. The first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there would be life upon the earth, mortal life. The first time it rose. But this time, when the sun rose, it has a dual sun rising. Another sun is rising. It was not S-U-N rising. It was S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he had seen laying upon the earth. Now, maybe what I said a while ago makes more sense. All right. So notice on down in that same message, the very message of the gospel, he's calling it sunlight itself, is to prove to the people that he's risen. It's to prove to the people. Now listen to what he says. "Go tell my disciples I've risen from the dead, and I'll meet them to confirm this to them."
Amen.
Not only have I risen from the dead, but tell them that I've risen from the dead, and then I'll confirm to them that I'm risen to the dead,
That's right.
Why does it matter to them? Because he's bringing eternal life.
Amen.
I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. Oh God, how in this last day there shall be light again across the earth. And I'll prove to my disciples. Go tell them that I'm not dead. I'm not a tradition, but I'm a living Christ. Is that not the message right there?
Amen.
Is that not what was told to us and brought to us? This makes me so happy. I don't know how to. I never thought I'd be one to shout, but sometimes I wonder if it's not getting close.
Amen.
I can't cry enough to get it out, so it has to go come out some other way. Just think about that.
Right.
It wasn't just a man with a sixth grade education.
Amen.
This was God Almighty.
Amen.
Proving himself through a man.
Yes,
it wasn't the man. There, you can go right off into Satan's intellect the same way.
Yeah.
You can start following Brother Branham as a man.
Uh-huh.
And you can go right into hell.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
You have to have that revelation yourself.
Yeah.
It has to be something God brings to you. It's individual.
Yeah.
He said it.
Yeah.
We're not the Jews. We're the bride. It's individual. Jesus asked that each one of us could be one with God as he was one with
God.
Yes, and I believe he's answered that prayer in this
Amen.
Day. I tell you, I just can't.
That's so good. I'll prove to my disciples. I can just hear Brother Branham. When you listen to this, you hear Brother Branham. He knows this message that went forth has been him going and telling the disciples. He's not a tradition. He's not a denomination. He's alive. I'm preaching this around Christmas. It's what the world says is Christmas. Brother Ram said, you can celebrate his birth every day and you can celebrate his resurrection every day. So that's what we need to do. And when you celebrate it, you celebrate either one of those. It won't look like Santa Claus. It won't look like Christmas trees. It won't look like swapping worldly gifts and all these other. It won't look nothing like that at all. It's hard to believe that people in this message think that that is a manifestation of the celebration of his life, whether it was born or whether it was when he died and rose again. It's so carnal. It makes me cry inside. I got family in it. I got family who don't care enough to even try to be around the message. I was talking to somebody in the family the other day. Somebody passed away in the family. And when they went, they were pretty upset the last few weeks of their life. And they were crying and they were calling out to the Lord. And this particular person had never been very religious. And we had talked to her. I know Mom had tried to talk to her a few times, and she didn't seem interested in it, really. Although she always treated us very sweet and very respectful. She just didn't. But at the end, she was calling out for him. And she was saying she was going to go to hell. Now, somebody can spend their whole life saying they don't believe it. But then they get down to the last few days of their life, and all of a sudden they believe there is a hell. There is these things. What did Brother Branham say starts happening? He said that about one of these other. He said this intellect, which is their defense against the Holy Spirit, starts to break down. And when that intellect breaks down, they realize there was wrong. They know it anyways. Now I'm going to read you something here in just a minute. And he sat there at the table and he looked me right in the eye. He said, now, why would she say that? Why would she say she was going to hell? And I said, I don't know why she would say that. I said, I'd have to talk to her to ask her why she would say that. And I said, you don't know where she come to in the end. I don't know where she come to in the end. But I told him, I said, don't wait.
That's right.
Till you get there. I said, you go get your Bible and pick it up and you read it. I said, I'm going home and I'm going to pray for you. And I said, you go get that Bible and you pick it up and you read it. I said, if it comes on your heart to go get that Bible, you go pick it up.
Yeah.
And he said he'd do it. But I never heard from him anymore. But it ain't finished. So God knows exactly when, exactly what, just what hell you had to get to, what bottom you had to get to, that he gets all of you out, and you're willing to turn around and say, Lord, I was so wrong. Take me wherever you want to take me. He knows. You think he don't. Oh, he knows. He knows all your buttons. He knows how being perverted knows how your buttons are too. So he can get you right where he wants you. And I was saying something the other day, I was talking about Paul. He knew Paul. He put Paul out there. Paul taught the Jews. He was so smart, he taught the Jews their own doctrines. Mm-hmm. The Sadducees or Pharisees, I can't remember which group he was in. But he taught them. And then the Lord brought him in. And where did he send them back to? Send them right back to them. You think about the mercy of God to take one of their teachers that taught them, give him the truth, put him out in the desert for 3 years to bring it and sort out, he had it. And sent it to them, and still they turned it down. Isn't that something? God in mercy, rich in mercy, did that. It just got me started about him, thinking about Paul when he come before King Agrippa. Yeah. King Agrippa can put him to death. King Agrippa do all these things. He ain't the least bit worried about that. I would that thou would be a Christian Agrippa, King Agrippa. I would. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing he was concerned about. They locked up into prison. We sing that song. Maybe we can sing that in just a little bit. How that when it shook it down and their chains come off.
Yeah.
And instead of leaving, they stayed there in the jail and talked to the jailer.
That's right.
And went home with him.
Amen.
Their concern wasn't about this. I've sat in the jail all this time. I'm going home. No, sir.
Right.
Their concern was this man and his soul. That's why they was here and they realized it. When people realize it, it changes the message. It doesn't become a doctrine or something to beat people with or something to fuss at somebody about. It becomes truth. And when somebody's drawing a seed, is drawing you, you go and it just gushes out. You don't have anything that can stop it from gushing out. It's coming. That's our concern, see? And we can't bring anybody in. We can't put anybody out. And we don't profess that.
Amen.
But in us is life.
Yes.
And if there's a seed somewhere, you keep brushing up against it long enough, that seed's going to have to do something. It'll turn it down or it'll come in, one or the other. I don't understand this. You know, Brother Branham said that when you come in contact with that word, you come in immediately. Yet Moses stood out there in the desert for 40 years before he come in. You know why? He hadn't come in contact with the word yet. But when he ran into that burning bush, then everything was different. Brother Branham said he went out there a murderer. He come back a one-man conqueror. And so it's whenever God says it. If we, now I'm not getting, don't make, I'm going on that. Listen, it's about this message. See, it's about this message. I can't get enough of it. There's no way. You know, we sing that song, "Fill Me with Love Until There's Just No More Love."
Yeah.
That's not possible.
No.
Maybe you can't take any more right then, but it's just not possible. But, yeah, is that it, Philip? Excuse me. All right. So, where was I at here? Okay, go tell my disciples. So, I just wanted to put this Matthew 11 here, because Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes."
Amen.
So how did he hide it? From the wise. Because the wise rely on their wise wisdom. That's what they rely on. That's the way they try to accept God, is that way. That's what the churches are full of. But the babes, who know they're not going to make it happen, they look to him. All right. But the Father, it said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him."
Amen.
If he's seeking it, then he's bringing it. No two things, and he's bringing this place to us. All right. Now, we're going back to Satan's Eden for a minute. I'm doing this because it's so close. I'm pointing these things out because of that. There's so much of this message that you can accept intellectually, or you think you know, you can be right in your doctrine and be and die and go to hell. It's okay with their God. Oh, he thinks that's wonderful. And they just love him for it. My, they argue with you. They stand right up and fuss at you about it. Why, sure, Satan stood right in the face of Jesus Christ, the Word, and said to say, it's written. And there he was, the vindicated Word of God. Satan's trying to tell the vindicated Word of God, which is the written made manifest, that it's written. He said, get behind me, Satan. Just walk and do the same thing. Like a fellow said to me one time, said, now, if you believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is right, and you believe you've got it, said, now you strike me blind. That was a preacher. Said, you strike me blind. Said, Paul struck a man blind one day. Now, what's that man's motivation? It's about proving this right or proving that right. Him this right and him that. That's his motivation. Paul struck a man blind one day. I said, mister, how can I strike you blind when you're already blind? How can I kill you when you're already dead? He said, me, my eyes are 20/20. I said, your physical part, but you're still blind. It's impossible. The Bible don't interpret things. We speak where the Bible speaks and silent where it's silent. That's a denominational slogan there, which they don't believe. I said, all right, when Elijah, he says, okay, if that's what you believe, then let's test it. Always test it with the Word.
Amen.
And you see, he's doing this. He's not trying to prove this man wrong.
Right.
He's trying to show this man the Scripture and that he what he's saying, he don't believe. He's trying to help this man. I read where Brother Ram said somebody wrote him and just wrote him two or three pages, just raking him over the coals. And Brother Branham pulled out some paper and wrote him back. And said, and the man wanted him to come. And eventually that man came in. But what's your motivation, you know? All right. When Elijah was down at Dothan, see, there come up the whole Syrian army around. And the servant run up, said, oh, my father. Said, my father said, the Syrians are surrounded us. Elijah rubbed his eyes, woke up, and said, there's more with us than there is with them.
Amen.
See, here's Elijah's servant, and he's in this place, and he don't recognize everything that's going on in this place. See, we've been brought into this day. People's been brought into this day, and some that aren't born again, they don't realize where they're standing. They come in contact with you as a Christian, as a real Christian, as one that's a product of this Word of this day, and they come in contact with you. They have no idea what they're in the presence. I guarantee they'll know something's different, but they won't know what it is. They won't know how to identify it. And so we have to realize the presence, and it's only going to get revelation to realize what's going on all around you. There's more than us than there is with them. He said, I don't see nobody. He said, God opened his eyes. Now, he was blind. Now, who prayed to open this eyes of this one? The prophet Elijah prayed to open this man's eyes. And he looked around at the old prophet, and upon the mountains was full of angels, chariots of fire and horses of fire. And he walked out there, and the Bible said he smote them blind. Blind to what? To him. Now, this is what he's telling this man who says he's not blind. The prophet himself smote him blind to the prophet. He said, and how did he do it? By just being the prophet. By just bringing the message, bringing it and being the prophet, it smote him blind. He smote them blind. Blind to what? To him. He walked out and said, are you looking for Elijah? Yes, we're looking for him. Said, come on, I'll show you where he's at. And Elijah leading them to Elijah. And he led them down there right into the army. And they all got killed or captured or whatever. I said, you know what I'm going to say to you? And it's pretty interesting because the one who come and told this king who was trying to find Elijah, said that his God shows him what you do in your bedchamber.
Yeah.
And so he knew that much.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he had a God that told him what he was doing in his bedchamber.
Yeah.
And so he wants to go down and kill this messenger.
Yeah.
He's already blind.
Yeah.
Right away. Elijah, instead of saying, Lord, what do I need to do? If you're showing him that, then what do I need to do? I'm wrong. If you're showing this man this, let me get straight. You know what I'm saying? Instead of repenting and trying to stop coming against him and do the right thing. And I said, you know what I'm going to say to you? Just exactly what my Lord said to your father, get behind me. Notice the children of obedience and disobedience. Notice the two. Has nothing in common. The disobedience worship their God. They don't worship God. They worship their imagination of God. Oh, they say, we believe the Bible. They do. They get their imagination straight from the Bible. Yes, it's a mixed tree. See, they add the world and knowledge to it. Satan tree mixed. See, she took from Satan's tree good and evil. Oh, we believe the word, sure, but not all of it. Eve believed the word too, but let Satan take his tree and pervert it a little bit. She let Satan take that tree and pervert it just a little bit. That's what it is. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word from it, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice. All right? So if you're trying to take words and add words, you're just doing your own self problems. This evil age is of darkness, yet belongs to church. Their God, they love him for it, the way he lets them do. This is people calling themselves Christians, and they love their idea of the Christian God. Because he lets them do. They have no condemnation. Do you see those seven women grabbing hold of one man, just want to take his name, take their approach away? They feel guilty. They feel like they're sinners. So they need to come to Christ, they know. So they'll come to this fake Christ, this false anointed ones. They have no condemnation. Nothing bothers them as long as they belong to church. Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. It was the last trick. God never forgave them for believing such a lie. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I'll let y'all go here in just a few minutes. I never expected to talk all. Some of us go other paths in this neurotic age that we're living. So many people turn to psychiatrists. Christians go to psychiatrists. And the psychiatrist has to go to a psychiatrist. Turn our path to God. See, they rely on a man. And that man's relying on another man and another one or woman or whatever. Turn on path, our path to God. He's our healer. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have this assurance.
Amen.
God answers prayer, and Job could say with a true heart. See, he could say this with a true heart. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he thought on his ways and turned to him. And David, after he did wrong and took Uriah, the Hittite's wife, the lovely Bathsheba, and was going to be the father of her child and had caused her gallant husband to be killed in battle. But then the prophet Nathan come in, revealed his sins to him that David thought on his ways and turned himself to repentance in sackcloth and ashes. That's the way to turn. God heard him. God will always hear a man or a woman that'll turn their feet to his testimony. To the testimony that he's provided. And you think about the one he's provided in this day. David was worthy of dying and pronounced his own death. But Nathan said, "Surely you'll not die." For he knew David knew God and knew that he'd done wrong. He defiled his brother's wife, and by the law, he should have. I wonder tonight, and wouldn't say this, but maybe there'd be another David sitting here tonight that's as guilty as David was. When you turn your light on at night, you see your brother's face, and the man that you defiled his loving wife or broke up his home flickering on the side of your wall, or some woman see the woman's home that she broke up by running off with her husband. It ought to bring you to repentance in sackcloth and confession. What the church needs tonight is confession and making right to come back to the testimonies of the Lord God. The testimonies. See, there's where that's the place that he makes. He makes a testimony in every age. See, that it would haunt people. See, it's the mercy, forgiveness. Seems that it would haunt people. Going on, know that you're walking hour by hour in the face of death. Knowing these things, but still won't turn loose of them and confess them. That's what he's saying. Why do we continue on with selfishness and greed and ungodliness and our eyes on the things of the world? It's time we turn back to God's testimonies. Man, that's what keeps people in Satan's kingdom. That's why I read that. Selfishness, greed. They don't want to come out and make it known that this was what they done. They don't want to do. I remember Brother Branham having that woman came to him, and she'd been to psychiatry, all kind of psychiatry, and she kept coming. And finally, the Lord told her that she'd had an affair with this other man somewhere. And she's like, "Don't you tell nobody that." See, this is what was causing her problem. Mm-hmm. It was unconfessed, he said. Mm-hmm. And so she said then, he said, "Well, your husband's doing the same thing." Mm-hmm. And so he went and got her, and they both confessed what they were doing. And he said, the man was a deacon in the church. And the man said, "I'm going to go home and resign as a deacon." And Brother Branham said, "Why?" This is what startled me. He said, "Why?" He said, "You got it straight now. Go on back and do what you're supposed to do." I thought, whoa. That's what the prophet said. You got it straight now. Go. But they won't, see. They'll hold on to that because they're worried about face. So they're worried about something in this world. Something, this one's opinion or that one's opinion or this is going to happen or that's going to happen. But the word should be everything. See, when you take that word, it overrides everything at that point. It's the only way I know how to say it. All right. Where are we at here? Let's see. All right, let's skip down to the seed is not heir with the shuck, paragraph 79. And this is what I was talking about earlier, so we can wrap up on this. He was God, the Logos, the word that went out of God. And when he began to brood over the earth and brought forth marine life, and then when the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, "Let there be," and there went the Logos, which is the Word. And the Word began to, because all this was Logos, all this was in the Logos. All that you were seeing coming out, all that was coming up, was in the Logos. The whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age was in the Logos. Brooding over this Eden, back there in Genesis, was the whole God, the whole Word for every age. So everything that was happening in Genesis was bringing forth all this that was in every age. I just wanted to point that out. It's the Logos had all that in it. The whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age. And as Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life, building up the bird life, on up to animal life, and finally there was coming something in the representation, or looked like the thing that was brewing it, brooding over it. It looked like the thing that was brooding over it. God, a man in the image of God. That man fell like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. So he wasn't done brooding. Even when Adam hadn't failed, he wasn't done brooding. Because in the Logos was all of the Word for every age. And so Adam, Brother Bram said, Adam was the spoken seed Word. And so before that spoken seed Word could bring, it fell into the dirt, into the ground. And Brother Bram said he didn't rise, but somebody else did. And when God began to brood over that after the fall, he brought up Enoch. He brought up Elijah. He brought up Moses. He brought up the prophet after prophet, trying to restore that image again, trying to get it back to a man that is standing by his word, all of the word. He brought up the prophet after prophet, trying to restore that image again. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine image of God himself again. Finally, it came up. Which was what? Which was God. The Logos made flesh and dwelt among us. Finally, the Logos had been made flesh and dwelt among us. And now the same Logos has a part. Remember what we said at the very beginning of the service when we talked about the first fold and the second fold, about the sun coming out and the seeds that were there. Now he's talking about this. The same Logos that was brooding over Eden has got a bride, has got a part. He has got a bride. And the same Logos, this word that cannot be tampered with, can't tamper with what Jesus made, that testimony that he made. Amen. You can't tamper with it. There's no finding any flaw in it whatsoever.
Right.
You can't tamper with it. That is brooding over this bride in this day. He has got a bride, and the same Logos, this word that cannot be tampered with, is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. When was this full manifestation? Jesus was the full manifestation. Which the prophets was carriers to the seed. The prophets were the carriers to the seed. The church denominations have been carriers to the seed. Now notice quickly, but like the shuck hugs, holds the seed now, then it leaves her.
Right.
And we saw that leave her. There's so many ways to go with that. I'm not going to try to go anywhere after that. But I just wanted us to look at the place he's brought us to.
Amen.
He brought us to that place where we are part of that Logos that's being made manifest in this hour. The female part of the Logos. He brought the male first. He was both.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took her out at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Brother Bram said he took her out, right there. And he took her out and brought her up to be just like him.
Amen.
And she's part of him. It's the same seed.
Right.
I just appreciate him so much. I appreciate y'all listening so good. I can never get enough of his word, like I said.
Amen.
Never say a word.
Amen.
We'll ask that you'll stand and... If Brother Michael has the words, he wants to sing that one. Paul and Silas one night. I forgot how it goes.
I bless your name.
That's it.
Perfect place.
I know it's in the only bleep, but.
No, it's not.
It's not in there?
Is it in the song, little song app?
Yeah.
That bar is not up there. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sure most of us know it by heart, but I'll mess it up.
All the light.
praise, our worship, and every breath. Like the brother said, we're going to lean on him more and more every day. And as we begin to lean more on him, we'll begin to see our actions in every aspect of our lives be more and more towards him and through that, getting to that place that he's drawing us, as the brother talked about this morning. So we appreciate the message. I've been listening to different ones, and I was like, this, I don't think I'm supposed to be preaching. Man, so I was like, it was really good this morning. So let's continue to remember Brother Don and Brother Goomber in his prayers as Brother Don will begin his trek back home tomorrow or Tuesday. He lands Wednesday, so maybe it's Wednesday. But now I think Brother Goomber's got a couple more weeks. I think he's coming back on the 15th. So let's continue. I was watching some of those videos of him preaching, and they say he's got a broken arm, but he's working that arm. I was like, yeah, that arm ain't broken no more. I don't know what happened, but it's working just fine. So
amen.
We appreciate the Lord coming on the scene for him and being there in the meetings. And so we're going to ask Brother Michael Gabriel if he'll come around and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Remember, next Sunday we'll have a dinner. Everyone's welcome to come back. And remember what each one of you, we go to the start of this week and lean on him.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate the word.
Amen.
Appreciate each one of y'all. It's our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful to you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, for your strong and mighty arm that brought us out, Lord, and not only brought us out, but brought us into you, Lord.
Yes.
We know that there's two parts to redemption, and we believe that it's all your work, Lord, and we believe, Lord, that you who has begun a work is able to finish it, Lord, and if anyone is struggling, Lord, or looking at themselves, Lord, he said that we're not worthy, Lord, but when we're in that Lamb, he's worthy.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that, Lord, and we know that only you can make it real, Lord. We invite you to rest upon the hearts of anyone, Lord, that has that need, Lord. Be with us now as we go our way this day, and all that's said and done, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.